This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and the Athletics' Ali Khambijani each week live, except this week, to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. And here with me on Locker Room, by way of the Locker Room app, is none other than Mr. Karthik Prasad, Rockets unofficial general manager, like general manager in training via Twitter. What's up, man?
I'm good. Great to be here. I actually, you know, this whole unofficial GM of Rockets Twitter has got me, it's pretty funny and pretty cool, but I'm glad that that's a moniker now that's going around. So excited to be here.
So we're going to clear the air on something first, because, and first off, I'm throwing Sam Vecenie completely under the bus here, because in the most recent, like, Vecenie eco piece from The Athletic, Vecenie kept saying that the Rockets had the 20th overall pick in the draft. And he completely baited me into forgetting about coin flips, which, hey, we had coin flips to look forward to on this fateful Tuesday afternoon at the end of May, which is what Rockets fandom has boiled down to, is coin flips, unfortunately. So because of the three-way tie for, what was it, the Lakers, Dallas, and Portland Trailblazers pick situation, unfortunately, things did not go the Rockets' way, and they walk away instead with the 23rd overall pick by way of Portland, in addition to the more than likely the 24th overall pick, because they're going to swap their second rounder to Milwaukee for the 24th overall. So they've got back-to-back picks at the end of the first round. KP, we're going to talk about these picks in a second, but I know that before we hit the record button and started this thing up, we were feeling some kind of way about how this Rockets fandom has boiled down to looking forward towards coin flips. How are we down bad, worse than we've ever been before?
I'm good. I mean, I agree with a lot of what folks were saying today, which is like, you know, we'll take this, you know, mini loss in exchange for a top four pick and ideally the number one pick later. So, you know, so many things have gone, you know, not the Rockets' way for the last 6 months, that this is just another thing. And hopefully it is all worth it if we're able to really get a top four pick and ideally that number one pick. So I'm okay. I think that, and the other thing is, I think this draft is pretty flat after the top seven or so. I think you could argue that there's four or five main guys, and I'm sure we'll argue about it. And then after that, it's like, well, you know, who's really, I could see the draft unfolding so many different ways. Whereas, you know, two spots in the 20s, I don't think that's going to change. May or may not change what we end up with. So I'm not too worried about that one.
Yeah, there wasn't, you know, the drop from, you know, what would have potentially been, you know, what, pick 21, whatever the top end would have been. Yeah, down to 23. It's not the end of the world. Yes, you maybe miss out, you know, on a guy that you might have your eyes on, you know, a couple spots ahead of that draft position, but it's not the end of the world. Now, KP, I want to give you a second here, because I've boiled it down and whittled down my big board of my top five, right? Because the top five prospects in this draft are just a cut above the rest. Mm-hmm. I boiled it down to kind of, there's like four tiers in this draft to me. There's the Cade tier, then there's, to me, Mobley and Suggs, then Kuminga and Green, and then there's like the everybody else tier. That's how I have it boiled down, and I've already shared my opinions of my top five and what order I would put them in on my personal big board. What order do you have your top five, and why?
Yeah, I've got Cade Cunningham as a clear number one guy. I think, you know, he was College didn't really do him justice. He was stuck on a pretty, pretty bad team that he lifted into the tourney, but he can do everything, literally everything. He can score from anywhere. He can defend. And most importantly, he can pass and actually run an offense. And he's very advanced in doing that. Think about how there's a lot of kind of questions of when Luka came out, and then he immediately kind of became the next James Harden type of offensive engine. And I see that in Cade Cunningham. And I think that he's the most complete player in the draft. After him, I'm debating between Evan Mobley and Jalen Suggs. I think Mobley's more of a unicorn. Like, you can't teach his height, his defensive instincts, his footwork.
I love it, because anybody who listened to today's Tuesday Locked on Rockets knows that's literally what I said. Is I went back to the old adage of you can't teach height, you can't teach the wingspan. Like, I mean, it's so hard.
No, and
you package all of that with his current skill set, and it makes it really hard to pass on him if you're sitting in the number two spot, for me personally.
Yeah, although I think I still have Jalen Suggs number two, and I'll tell you why. Is I think that big men, you know, Evan Mobley's 19. When he is 26 or 27, will he be better than Jalen Suggs? Maybe. He probably has a higher ceiling. But it takes big men, especially in this game, so long to develop because they don't have the ball. So first of all, they have to get on the court. Then they have to get the ball. And then then they have to put their complete game together. I mean, I think he will right away be an awesome defender. But if you think about what Suggs brings in terms of all-around skill set, leadership, he's going to have the ball, he can play on or off ball, he can impact the game right away, and the team can develop. And so there's a bit of like, how patient should we be? And, you know, should we wait for Evan Mobley's potential higher ceiling as a big man? Or do we take someone like Suggs, who can really just come in right away, kind of a freak athlete, do it all, Jason Kidd type of guy, and plug him in next to Kevin Porter Jr. So I'm still going back and forth. I currently have Suggs 2, Evan Mobley 3. After that, I have a Jalen Green as a clear 4, and then I have a big drop-off after that. I don't know about – I mean, I like Kuminga. I just think there's a gap between them. Jalen Green's actually really impressive as a scorer. I just don't know. It'll take him a while on the defensive end, even though it seems like he has pretty good instincts. He can pass. He just wasn't really asked to do it in the G League. So it'd be interesting. He's not a guy who would run an offense and score at a high clip. So he would be more of a prototypical shooting guard, which I think is cool. And you know, we've talked a lot on Rockets Twitter about his fit with Kevin Porter Jr. So I think, you know, if we get picked 4, he's perfect for that. He may go before that. But for me, offensively, he's mostly a scorer slasher. And so I kind of compared him to a little bit to Jaylen Brown coming out, actually, kind of in the way that he kind of gets to the rim and slashes, as well as kind of how Zach LaVine is also kind of lanky and elevates on his jump shot. So there's some really exciting things with Jalen Green. I think, and he showed pretty well against kind of pro level or near pro competition. So I have him 4th. I just think, and lastly on Kuminga, I mean, so many tools, but I just don't know how. Like he to me maxes out as a third option guy. Like, I don't know what his main stamp on the game is going to be on any given night. Like, he's not a primary ball handler.
But here's my thing: his main stamp is going to be his defensive presence. And yeah. I think that all the mechanics there are there for him to be a really great guy who can impact the game so heavily on the defensive side, really putting his fingerprints on the game on that end, both as an on-ball defender, as a good team defender. In our Jonathan Kuminga breakdown, and we've kind of mentioned this a couple times with Richard over from Locked On NBA Draft, who's been helping me break down the top prospects. Team defense isn't really a concept that kind of like, it doesn't really exist in the G League, unfortunately, but you can see the workings there that he understands. You know, he pays attention off ball. Like, all the defensive IQ is there for Kuminga. And so I think that when you're looking at you know, what you're trying to build for this Rockets team moving forward, I really like the idea of him slotting and giving this team a bit more size, a bit more, you know, overall everything offensively. And then the biggest question is, you know, will he get a better consistent shot? But mechanically, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with his shot. His shot looks good. And I think that when you're looking at that as a base as a baseline of, okay, can you continue to build this up? There's no issues. There's not like a hitch in his shot. There's no concern there. I think it's just something that he just needs to work on over time. And I'm really high on his potential, like true ceiling as, I'm not going to say a Klay Thompson type because he's not going to be like, you know, bona fide, like, you know, pure shooter like Klay, but really that glue guy who can impact the game and be kind of that third or fourth piece down the line that doesn't need to get, you know, his touches on any given night.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point, third or fourth piece. And that's why I have him fit, like the fit at the top. I think the other four guys can be either a number one or a number two guy. I think that to me is the clear difference. Now, that's why I have Kuminga fit, is I think his defensive potential and then can he work on his shot will be there. I mean, he's a freak athlete, and I think he can impact the game in multiple ways, to your point. But I just don't know if he can be a number one guy, whereas I could see the case for other guys being a number one guy, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. And one of the things that I want to do that we've sort of done a little bit here and there, but we haven't really like boiled it down and put them verbatim into a whole segment, is really focusing in and honing in on what are the biggest questions facing this Rockets team this offseason. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that in just a second after a quick message from our friends over at, hey, you guessed it, Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We host rooms for Locked On Rockets every single week, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., which means you can finally join in on the conversation that you listen to every single day. So go download the free Locker Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices, as well as in beta on Android devices, to come hang out. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Karthik Prasad, the unofficial GM of Rockets Twitter. Now, KP, I think that just to get this one out of the way, because I feel like this one's just a, you know, we can't even count this one, is obviously a gigantic question is what happens with this pick. Do the Rockets keep their top four pick or not? And so I feel like that one we can't even count in this, you know, in this group of biggest questions for the Rockets season, because that's not one that it's not in their own control, unfortunately, right? Whatever happens with that pick is going to happen, and they have zero control over that. So moving past that one, a couple of the other questions that jump out to me obviously are, what are the futures of John Wall and Eric Gordon with this team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think in order, you know, John Wall's the biggest question. We heard the press conferences, I think last week now, with Stone and Silas saying, you know, he has tremendous IQ. They expect him to be here. Yeah. Felt like the things that they should be saying. And, you know, there's no reason not to say that. But, you know, I think as the media started to chat about, I think as Rockets Twitter has started to chat about, including myself, things like a buyout, and certainly a trade, if it presents itself, could make sense. And so to me, I think the Rockets, I think it'll be like Stone continues to say, they won't predetermine it. But if John Wall comes and say, I'm open to a buyout, or if the Clippers say, hey, we're ready, you know, we're desperate and we need John Wall as a point guard, I could see him getting moved or moving on from the Rockets, you know, pretty easily. And I think that's going to be a big thing. I mean, if we're trying to prioritize our young player development, and if we get a guy like Cade or Suggs or Green that is going to be in the backcourt, I don't think we want, ideally, John Wall clogging up. So to me, finding a resolution for him in a win-win situation, whether it's during the summer or at the trade deadline, is something that I think is really important. And so I think that's question number one. Eric Gordon, I can see going either way. I think if they get a pick and they don't have to pay essentially to trade him, they might do right by him and send him to a contender on a winning timeline, whether that's, again, in summer or the trade deadline. But I don't think they're in as big a rush to move him, because I think they value his presence and his ability to play kind of multiple roles for the team. So that's my view on those two questions. But I think Wall is more likely to move than I think even we all kind of think at this point.
there, and I have a third question, but I want to focus in on this EG discussion for a moment, because I kind of in passing suggested the idea of, as you just kind of mentioned, you know, floating EG to a, you know, a ready-made contender, or at least a team with, you know, more immediate playoff hopes than this current Rocket squad. And to me, I think a team that has a glaring need, and I haven't looked at the numbers yet, and you know, that's part of what you got to look at when you're entertaining any of these hypotheticals. But the idea of sending Eric Gordon to Golden State almost fits too well.
Right.
And you're looking at Golden State, a team that already missed out on basically punting on a season of Steph Curry's prime in favor of drafting a prospect in Wiseman. And, you know, a pick that, you know, a lot of teams wanted them to go LaMelo, and they didn't. And I think you can look back on that and think, oh, well, you know, they made a mistake there. But looking at their situation now and how close they were to the playoffs, and had they cashed in that pick for another, you know, ready-made player to be a significant part of a playoff push this season, we might be talking about the Warriors in the playoffs as opposed to getting bounced, you know, in the second of two play-in games instead. So now they're in a position where they could be walking away with two lottery picks, one by way of Minnesota and another being their own, locked in more than likely at number 14. So for me, I really think that there's a possibility there, and maybe it's not Golden State. Maybe it's another team that's in there in that mix. Maybe Charlotte's a team that, you know, they were on the cusp of making it. Maybe they want, you know, a veteran presence in EG, and they decide to punt on another young prospect in favor of getting some more of that veteran leadership and a guy who can be an immediate contributor. But am I out of line by suggesting that as an idea? Because I've had a couple people say, hey, this isn't happening. Like, we're not trading EG for a lottery pick. But I think there's possibility there, especially if you maybe entice a team with those late first, the 23rd and 24th pick in the draft, you might be able to kind of grease the wheels on that conversation a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think the Warriors are a great fit, mostly because they have that 14th pick, and we can talk about who the Rockets could take with that. And maybe it's like Eric and pick number 24 for the 14th pick or something like that, which I think would be really cool. So I think you're spot on in terms of a team that could use Eric Gordon, would value his skill set, that wants to get back to winning, and wouldn't command a price that otherwise you would need in order to move his deal. So that's certainly one. And the other one could be Portland. You know, I mean, Norman Powell is a free agent. I imagine they'll re-sign him, but that's a situation where, depending on what they do with him and McCollum and all that stuff in the off season, and how they end round one, or if they do, that could be another spot. But I really do think Golden State is one. Now the problem there is, you know, they're going to probably want to move on from Andrew Wiggins. So that's, I don't know if that's something that's really palatable, but it could be, depending on the picks that come with it to the Rockets. It would be exactly the type of move to do, is to take on salary in order to get more assets. The other thing that they have is Kelly Oubre, who's a free agent, but you might imagine could be open to some kind of sign and trade or something else. But on paper, if we could send Eric Gordon in a late first round for the 14th pick to the Warriors, I mean, that'd be awesome. But I just don't know what kind of, you know, conversations have been had on that.
Is it weird that I feel like, in a way, like, Toronto might also be a team that could potentially be in the mix? You know, obviously they had a really weird season.
Yeah.
They kind of fell off, but it all kind of revolves around what happens with Kyle Lowry for them, right? If he bounces this summer and goes to, you know, a different contender, then I think it doesn't end the window for Toronto, but it kind of sets them back a ways and kind of resets their timeline a little bit more to line up with Siakam and Fred VanVleet. But I think for me, Toronto makes a decent bit of sense if they hold on to Kyle Lowry and they maybe say, hey, we want to run it back with Lowry, you know, another season or two with whatever he's got left. And maybe EG is the guy that they look at. And they're like, depending on where their pick lands, they're willing to, again, punt on another prospect, somebody who's not going to be a ready-made contributor, in favor of a guy like EG, who can, you know, who was having a really, really impressive season before we had to shut him down due to the groin injury.
Yeah, Toronto could make sense. Another team in the East that can make sense is even Chicago. I mean, they missed the playoffs this year, but they clearly made a move that would, with Vucevic, that would indicate they want to get back to the playoffs and kind of adjust their timeline and age profile. And so they've got both combination of young guys, but also more cap flexibility to be able to trade for someone like Eric Gordon without it. And of course, you know, ex-Rockets front office people there always helps. So I think that they could be another one. Those teams, to your point, on the cusp or are wanting to actually be firm playoff teams could be a good bet for Eric. And, now he has, what, two seasons on his deal, clear value, especially playoff time. So it's something that it would be a good time if it happens. But I think the Rockets may also wait to the deadline and see how the landscape shakes out.
Tobias, we want to get you up here. We want to hear what you have to say. Give us just 1 second because we got to get in a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Look, if you've never had a protein bar that you actually care about, that you've enjoyed, if eating protein bars have always been a chore, you've got to check out Built Bar. They've got so many amazing flavors to choose from. Raspberry, mint chocolate brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. Really can't go wrong with any of the flavors on their menu because these protein bars, they're basically a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. Every single bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Another quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. We've got baseball season in full swing. NBA playoffs are here, just not for the Rockets. Our playoffs, that's the draft lottery. You can get all the latest news, odds, info for MLB, NBA, NHL, UFC, you name it, BetOnline has it. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's time to get in on the action. So head over to BetOnline and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Chatting with, of course, the great Karthik Prasad by way of the Locker Room app. No Ali Kambijani this week. He's doing okay. Just resting up a little bit, feeling a little bit under the weather. Sad that he couldn't be here. He told me to tell everybody to say hi. But we're going to get Tobias up here on the stage really quick to talk about what's been going on. Tobias, how's it going, man?
Good. How about you guys? How you guys doing?
Good, good.
Well, first, I'm a big fan of, like, the podcast and stuff, but I really just came to say, like, I feel like Kate's number one, like, no doubt, but, like, after Kate, I actually switched, like, Green and Suggs, like, compared to, like, KP's board, because mm-hmm. I was, like, I said in the chat, I actually feel like Green scoring, especially, like, when you look at, like, his two-way potential, and then, like, when I look at Mobley, like, I see, like, a lot of the same defensive upside that a lot of other people see. It's just that when I look at his strengths, I feel like they're very comparable, at least a lot in terms of, like, what Christian Wood provides defensively. Now, while, like I said, like, Mobley has, like, a way greater upside in comparison mm-hmm. to Wood. But, like, in terms of his weaknesses and stuff, in terms of guarding the post and stuff like that, I don't see where he really adds much value there. And then when you look at another player, like, in terms of, like, Green, or even me, I personally have Suggs above Mobley as well, just because of, like, how I feel like the wing position and the guard position is valued in the NBA nowadays, and, like, the impact it has. And offensively, I just honestly don't see the fit with Mobley as well. If you look at, like, his shooting, when NBA players first come into the NBA, they generally don't shoot as well, and he wasn't really a great shooter in college. So, I mean, that's really my points mostly.
So you have Cade, and then you got what, Green number two, Suggs three, Mobley four. Is that right?
For sure. Yeah, right there.
Gotcha.
I hear the concerns, Tobias. I do, and I think that at the end of the day, right, is when you're trying to evaluate picks like this, it's so tough to, you know, there's not, I feel like there's not a right answer. You know, the right answer, the only one, the slam dunk is Cade at number one. And then it's just all, you know, personal flavor, feel, opinion, whatever for the other guys. And it's, you're right, it's a guard-driven league. And I think there's a lot of hesitation to take a big like Mobley at number two overall when it's such a guard-centric league right now. But again, I come away, and as KP and I discussed earlier, and I've spoken about it multiple times now, is he really is that unicorn, right? And I think that his defensive presence and what he gives you on that side of the basketball, you pair that with Christian Wood, who has shown the ability to be a multi-positional threat. We heard Steven Silas use that terminology specifically when discussing Christian Wood, talking about the fact that playing him alongside Kelly Olynyk, he realized that he can slot in, you know, as a four or a five. And Ali Khan has brought this up before, talking about the fact that, you know, Wood was essentially robbed of some of his explosiveness, his speed, his lateral quickness because of the ankle injury. And so I think we're going to see a better version of Christian Wood, or a version similar, more similar to the version of him before he went down to injury at the start of this next season. And thinking about that paired next to Evan Mobley is really interesting, because I think KP's comparison for Mobley was Chris Bosh, and I think that was the comparison that we had when we did our preview episode, you know, kind of looking at his strengths and weaknesses, and that was Richard's comp for Evan Mobley as well. And if you give me a guy who's like Chris Bosh to pair alongside Christian Wood in the front court, that's really exciting for me.
Yeah, I do hear the concerns of his offense, but I do think, you know, Evan Mobley's a pretty good playmaker slash passer. He can kind of, I also feel like his college game kind of undervalued him a little bit now, because I don't really know. I mean, he didn't shoot it terribly well, as you said, Tobias, but I feel like that's something that could rapidly improve. But again, to me, big men are on different timelines, and I think that the potential is there, but it just takes them so long to develop. And maybe we want that. But then you look at Christian Wood being 26 and Evan Mobley being 20 next year. And it's like, you know, how do we line up all the timelines? What's the right timeline and balance for our team? Especially to get him on the floor. But to your point, you know, Green, you can drop him. He's going to be a walking bucket day one. Suggs, you can have him. He can play off ball. He can get set other guys up. He can hustle, he can be a great defender day one. So it's a bit of timeline balance upside for me. And I still have Mobley three, but you know, I see why anywhere those two to four guys, I've heard all sorts of combinations between Green, Suggs, and Mobley. And I think there's no real, at this point in the draft, right answer, or rather they could be multiple right answers.
Tobias, I had to drop you off the stage for a split second. I'm so sorry. I will explain myself in a moment, but we're on a timer over here, believe it or not. A timer that shouldn't exist, but it does, and I'm blaming KP for it. So you guys know the drill. We're going to keep this conversation going. So if you're in the locker room, don't go anywhere. We're keeping this conversation going with Locked On Rockets After Dark. KP, tell everybody where they can track you down at, man.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at StanfordKP, and same thing now on Locker Room. So really great to be here with you guys.
KP, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. The Locker Room audience seems to have enjoyed you filling in for Ali Khan. But for today's episode of Locked On Rockets, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.